This is Jim Field.
And this is Dolly Bergman.
And this is your Nishna Valley. Another week, another new face.
Yes.
Or new voice, depending on where you're sitting. I see a face, you folks are hearing a voice.
Yes, definitely. It's one they've heard before, though.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Appreciate it. Why in the world did you think, hey, that's a good idea, I might try that?
Well, it's kind of like I've mentioned in your email, I have a little experience. I think, let's see, it would have been about April or so of 1997. They would have probably told me, oh, and remember, you have to do the chamber report. And what is the chamber report? Explain that to me. And it's okay, fine. That was the weekly recording.
Mm-hmm.
I had to come in and do as the new chamber director. And I was trying to think, you know, was that something that would have crossed my mind and put panic into me or that at the time? And I don't remember that it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, you know, that gut-wrenching feeling, think, oh, no, what am I getting into here?
You mean like the feeling you have right now?
No, actually not bad. But because I probably thought to myself, well, it couldn't be any worse than having to make a presentation to the corporate officers at the telephone company, or any worse than having to make a presentation at a retirement party for somebody that's got 400 to 500 people sitting out there looking at you. I figure, this has got to be easy compared to that.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, your professional career, you spent a long time working for the telephone company, retired.
Yes. Yep.
And then kind of got into some, came back here. You're from here originally.
Yes. Yes. I grew up here. I'm one of those that the state is proud of, I guess, you know, you go back home sort of thing. Yeah. I was gone basically a little over 25 years, graduated from here, spent some time traveling the state of Iowa with the telephone company. I jokingly say I make this funny loop, you know, went to Des Moines, Mason City, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Cedar Rapids, then to Omaha, but I couldn't cross the river to live. Lived in Council Bluffs, but worked in Omaha,
uh-huh.
Then back to Des Moines, and then was headed back to Omaha again. And that's when we said, okay, we'll just move back to Atlantic and I'll commute from there. And things happened. And basically, yes, I'm retired, but technically I was actually laid off from the telephone company after 25 years. And we had just started building our house at the time. So I think we put Denny Wales, who was the contractor, kind of in panic mode, thinking, oh, he's building a house for somebody that doesn't have a job.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we got things done over that winter, the 96-97 time frame, and got the house done. And I'm thinking, oh, now I better go look for a job. And that's when I ended up at the chamber.
Sure.
And basically, in a sense, I'm no longer the chamber director, but really haven't gotten away from that and a few other things that I volunteer for.
I was going to say, you're kind of a professional volunteer now.
Yeah, that's what I, at Ambassadors, that's how I introduce myself. I use the term, I'm a Longaberger consultant and professional volunteer.
Pays great.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, it's one of those you can say no.
That's true.
You don't have to show up if you don't want to.
It's hard to say no, though.
Yeah, I know.
Especially when it's your hometown.
Yeah, it is. Because, you know, I said, I really enjoy it. But there's a few things that I jokingly say, you know, there's things that I belong to that there's nobody that lives in town.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's from the country or outside of it, which, you know, that's the typical of Atlantic.
Right.
You don't, the boundaries are not there because you have people from the entire community, the entire area involved in this community. You know, I think 4-H is a good example of that. I said the chamber itself, you know, the churches, everything that goes on in town, you know, whether it's the Rotarians, the Kiwanis, any of those groups, they don't stop at the edge of town, which is good.
What about your husband, Dave? Where's he from?
Dave is originally from Waverly,
okay,
up in the general area that you came from a little bit.
So he's not, you didn't have to twist his arm real hard to move here?
No, not bad. I said he had made some of those moves. Of course, we met in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, and so he was in Cedar Rapids, and with the Council Bluffs, he worked in Omaha also at the time because he's retired from the telephone company.
Was this a telephone company romance thing?
Yes, one of those, yeah, yeah. One of those down the hall sort of thing, yeah.
This isn't one of those, I called the operator one night, got this sexy voice, and then had a nice conversation, so lo and behold, we started dating.
Oh, no, I said our desks were not too far apart.
Okay, that was easy.
Yeah. Well, and there was even a time, we joke, in the Cedar Rapids building that we were in, it was really unusual. We were in the engineering group, and the construction group was also in that building, and they really had a joke that we could say, oh, it's time for, you know, Friday afternoon, it's time for, let's all just go have a drink sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And you just had to announce it in the building because you didn't have to go contact a spouse. Because in our building, I think there was at least 8 couples.
Hmm.
Yeah, which was real, real unusual. I mean, there was probably no other group that was like that. There were several, I said, husbands and wives that worked in the same building. And I think there's a lot of people that would look at us and always, when we'd tell this about this, they'd look at us and think, oh, crap, you work with your husband that close? And then, oh, yeah, and so-and-so does, and so-and-so does, and so-and-so. And they just couldn't believe because they knew there's no way that their marriage would have survived working that close together.
For some people, it works. For some people, they're just they can't even imagine doing something like that.
Oh, no, they can't. But like I said, it was real unusual. There was quite a few of us in that particular. So it was easy, like I said, to have a group go have a drink, say, mm-hmm. on a Friday evening, because you just step down the hall and say, okay, you guys want to come, you come, and we're all, and we just,
sure.
And you didn't have to worry. Actually, I hate to say this, but there was the bar was only 3 doors down from the office. So you could leave the car parked and everything. You didn't even have to go too far and have a drink and everybody then go home after work.
So was it easy, like, to say, for example, get time off maybe to go on vacations together at the same time, or was that difficult?
No, I didn't have too much
too
trouble. Yeah.
Good.
You know, I mean, because most of the time, most of us and the couples involved there, their jobs were enough different that you didn't have a problem with that sort of thing. So, and like I said, even one of my bosses, his wife was in the office, and yeah, it was just,
well, where you meet people. I mean, you meet people where you are, and where you are most of the days at work.
Yeah,
so it shouldn't be that unusual.
Yeah, and we even had, we had a softball team that mm-hmm. was several from the office, and so yeah, it was just they talk about, your work becoming your family,
right?
And it was for a lot of us in different ways.
Well, it's funny because there's the old joke that always goes around about how we have wives and then we have work wives.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing at your place of business.
Yeah, it was. It was there, definitely. Yeah. No, so it was, I think everybody got along real well, too, because they knew it was also one of those, there wasn't a lot of other types of conversations going on because mm-hmm. you knew it.
Word's going to travel fast.
Yeah,
or faster than normal.
Yeah, so you just kind of kept a low key.
Was it ever tough, though? Did you ever have, because we all have disagreements and stuff at home. We have our little fights and things. That's normal.
Yeah.
But is it hard not to let that carry over to work?
I don't remember that it ever did.
Never fought.
Well, I'm sure we did. I just don't remember anything being, that significant.
Of course, your train of thought's different once you sit down at work.
Well, and people, when we left Cedar Rapids, that's when we went to move to Council Bluffs and worked in Omaha. And there, of course, it was a little different than, the building was big enough. He was on a different floor than we were,
sure.
But went to lunch together and, mm-hmm. of course, always drove to work together pretty much all of the time. And I laughed that there was one time that it felt really strange. Might say the first day after Dave had retired from the telephone company and I drove to work by myself.
Life-changing.
Yeah, it was. It was really different because, I had always, there had been times I'd driven to work by myself because he'd take a day off when I didn't, or I'd take a day off when he didn't sort of thing. But that was one day that it wasn't going to change. No, it wasn't going to change. It was a permanent
right.
day that I would be driving to work by myself. So it was really totally different, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that can't relate to that type of thought.
And you guys were always able to work out transfers together then?
Fortunately, yeah.
So they were willing to work with mm-hmm. you that way. Well, that's nice, because a lot of places, they wouldn't really consider that.
Well, they always, I said, when we went from Waterloo to Cedar Falls, we were in the engineering group, and they were reconsolidating things. So there was a bunch of people being moved. So that wasn't a big problem there. It was when we went to, I said, to work in Omaha. I actually had the job first. And then they referred to a spouse that was going to look for a job. They called them a trailing spouse. Yeah, really, you know, and most of the time it was, you know, a husband that had moved and a wife then that was trailing. Mm-hmm. Well, this was opposite. I had the job and Dave was considered the trailing spouse. But, you know, they found stuff, lots of things going on. So there was usually plenty of things to change and move into.
Huh. Well, now, so you were probably, were you still working at the phone company when there was such massive change with deregulation then?
Yeah, yeah. When they were, might say, did a whole bunch of the things. Well, when Northwestern Bell became U.S. West,
right.
We were in Cedar Rapids at that time. And when U.S. West became Quest, I mean, yeah.
There was a constant period of change there as things broke apart
Part
and were
and
fragmented
mm-hmm.
and things. Yeah,
yeah,
it was quite a time. And,
oh, yeah, definitely.
And I assume probably a little scary time at different points, too, because you never know what's going to happen next. Change can be scary.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
Especially radical change.
And some of it was kind of radical at times. But I guess, you know, at this time I'm thinking, must not have been too bad because I can't think of anything that really affected me offhand that, you know, or bothered me tremendously. So survived through it.
You guys seem to have survived just fine.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, good. Well, thanks for sharing. It's kind of fun to hear people's stories. We all have stories. You know, I'll have people tell me all the time, how do you find the different interviews and things? And quite frankly, you could sit down with anyone, if you do it right, and just ask, you know, the right questions and things and draw some experiences out. Everybody has stories and great stories. It's just, you know, just sit down and visit a little bit and you start to find things about people's lives.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot. If you catch that right question,
right,
they'll just dump for you.
Well, and that's what I was kind of interested in, because, you know, working in the phone company at that particular time in history, it was such a dramatic time in history with all of that. So it's kind of neat. And you don't see too many instances, at least I haven't run into too many, where you have all these people that are married working in the same place. It's kind of a neat story.
Yeah, I said it was fun, you know, because you'd go to somebody'd say, oh, yeah, it's their anniversary, so we're having, you know, this type of little picnic.
Right.
Okay, everybody's invited. Okay, so, and of course, see, I said we lived at Cedar Rapids. There was one of the managers that was down there between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, mm-hmm. right along the Coralville Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so we get to go to their house was a big deal.
Promotion must be coming. Huh?
Yeah.
Very good. Well, that's the trials and travails of the phone company.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to change the name of the program here this morning. Well, we probably should get down to some business here, too. Again, thanks for coming in doing this for me. We've got some things going on here around the area here in the coming days. In fact, starting this weekend, you want to start out?
Yep. This Sunday, January the 15th, the Exira Masons and the Exira Library Board Breakfast Fundraiser. It's from 8:30 to 12:30 at the Brayton Town Hall. The menu includes pancakes, eggs, sausage, French toast, and it's all-you-can-eat breakfast for free will donations. I've been to one of these before, and I'll tell you, good food.
Hard to walk away from all-you-can-eat.
Oh, I know. And, you know, pancakes and sausage and French toast, I mean, hey, stop in. And then, of course, on Monday the 16th is the Red Cross Blood Drive from 11:30 to 5:30 at the Red Oak YMCA. And also the Cass County 4-H invites the parents and other adults to attend the Clover Kids Find Out Night from 6 to 7 at the Community Center. The Clover Kids, it's a 4-H program for young kids in kindergarten through second grade. That's even before they're eligible for 4-H, so that's a good time to get them started, interested in finding out, especially if you don't have older kids that have been in 4-H, this would be a great mm-hmm. opportunity to get your younger kids involved. Tuesday, January the 17th, another Red Cross blood drive from 11:30 to 5:30. It's the Carson Community Center on Commercial Street. And if you need to make an appointment, call Ruby at 712-486-2568. Wednesday, January 18th, another Red Cross blood drive. Boy, if you didn't get to one of these,
should be able to get one of them in your schedule. That particular one is from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Walnut High School on Antique City Drive there in Walnut. Then on Thursday, January the 19th, it's the Anita Health and Wellness Center and ISU Extension and Outreach in Cass County. They're sponsoring Small Steps to Health and Wealth. It's a two-part workshop that will be offered January 19th and the 26th at the Health and Wellness Center in Anita. Each session includes practical strategies and tips that can help you succeed. There will be workshop leaders will be Barb Fuller from the ISU Extension and Mary Beth Kaufman, also from the Extension. And the first workshop will focus on applications of strategies to health. The second will introduce new strategies on financial applications. The participants will select three or four strategies to implement as part of their personal action plan. And they do ask you to register by January the 16th. The workshops will run from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. each day. And the registration is $15 for both sessions. You can also, that's an early registration. If you register at the door, it'll be $10 for each workshop attended. And the forms are available at the Anita Health and Wellness Center, the Cass County Extension in Atlantic, or you can go online at www.extension.iastate.edu/Cass. Those things are hard sometimes.
We have it on our website, actually. If you go to the KJAN.com website into our links page, you can find that just as easily. And
yeah, I can tell you. Then Saturday, January the 21st, the Ottoman County Crime Stopper Soup Supper will be held that evening from 5 to 7 at the Memorial Building in Ottoman. They'll be serving chili, oyster, and vegetable beef, along with sandwiches, bars, and drinks, and the cost is $7 for adults, $3 for children, 12 and under, and preschoolers are free. Also on the 21st is the Pottawatomie County Pony Express Benefit Dance and Auction. They'll be held that night with their along with some raffles. It's at the Oakland Community Building from 8 to 12. The Rhythm Kings will be playing country western, 50s and 60s, and classic rocks. All the proceeds go to the Camp Sunnyside in Ankeny. And if you have any questions or want to make donations, they can call Mick Fay at 712-789-9980. Also that evening is the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce Annual Dinners and Awards. It'll be at the Cass County Community Building. Social hour begins at 6 with the dinner at 6:30. Includes a full buffet dinner with cash bars available. Tickets are $25. Everyone's welcome. You don't have to be a chamber member. They do ask that you RSVP, though, by January the 19th. And also on that Saturday, the Atlantic Coca-Cola Center and Museum will be open from 1 to 4, and then also on the 28th, and they're going to be closed in February and March. So now's a good time to get down there and check out the new location on Chestnut Street.
Yeah, it's a cool-looking location, actually.
It is. It was a perfect idea move. Yeah. The red and white awning on the front of the building and the mural on the side of the building. Mm-hmm. It's just like it's been waiting for us to move there.
Oh, yeah. Dale and Shirley, when they did that, you know, for the Atlantic Locker location, that red and white awning, it looked nice there, too. But then when they moved to a different location, it just looks like it was made for Coke.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, it's just kind of one of those things that's down the road. It's like it was meant to eventually be in that location. And I think we've enjoyed making the move. Mm-hmm. People have been real responsive to coming. We've had a lot more visitors being on Main Street, being open on that Saturday afternoon. I think you find more people. You don't find a lot of strollers along the streets, but yet you do, surprisingly. They'll stop maybe at Robinson's and they'll walk on down the street, or they'll stop at the bank and go on, go to Kendall's, stop. So it's been well worth making the change for us.
I know you've been actively involved in this, too, and you're talking about like a grand reopening maybe a little bit later on.
Yes, in April, I said we kind of decided that February and March that people just don't seem to get out and do those types of things because it's cold. We all have a tendency just to, might say, like to hibernate a little bit. And thought, you know, why not just go ahead and close for February and March and then reopen in the April time frame? And we haven't come up with what we're going to do, but we thought, oh, we need to do something special when we open. But so watch for that and listen for it on KJAN and find out what we've got planned.
Very good. We'll look for that. have a few more things here going on around the area as well. This Sunday, January 15th, the Adair County Fair Board is sponsoring a soup and pie dinner fundraiser. They're asking for a free will offering with funds going toward their capital improvement projects. Now, again, it's this Sunday, the 15th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. There'll be an auction at 12:30, and that's at the Adair County 4-H and FFA building, which is on the fairgrounds there in Greenfield. Also coming up next weekend on Sunday, January the 22nd. Boy, January is disappearing in a hurry. We have St. Patrick's Catholic Women will be sponsoring an all-you-can-eat breakfast featuring Dad's Belgian waffles. That'll be from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the St. Patrick's Parish Center in Audubon. Adults, $7. Children 6 to 10, $4. And 5 and under can eat free. And they have tickets available at the door, and they'll have takeouts available there as well. Again, that's Sunday, January the 22nd. Also on Sunday, January the 22nd, the Marnie Community Club will be hosting its chili contest and men's pie contest. Judging for both of those contests is a people's choice.
Would you like to be a judge, Jim?
Oh, everybody can be. Yeah, absolutely. Anyone interested in entering the chili contest, though, should bring a gallon crock pot of chili to the Marnie Community Center by 5 p.m. that day. Now, the same goes for the men's pie contest. You don't have to bring a gallon of it, but you have to bring a pie. No fees, though, for entering. And there'll be trophies for chili and pie winners on display at the Marnie Community Center. Now, the winners this year, they don't get the trophy. They get their name engraved on it. It stays there forever. Everyone is welcome to join as either a judge or a participant. They just ask you to bring a potluck salad to share. Pie, of course, will be the dessert. And the beverages will be provided there as well. Also coming up on Wednesday, January 25th, yikes, check this out. If you want to give blood, you got three different options that day. In Villisca at the Community Center from noon to 6, also in Logan at the Logan Magnolia High School from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., and in Westphalia at St. Boniface Parish Center from noon until 6 p.m., all opportunities to stop by an American Red Cross blood drive. It's very important. They'd love to see you there. Now, you mentioned the Small Steps to Health and Wealth seminars. Again, remember, it's the 19th and then again on the 26th. So make sure you get yourself registered for that. The deadline for registrations is coming up this Monday, January the 16th. It's $15, and that covers both sessions if you do it in advance. If you wait, it's $10 for each session at the door. So save yourself a couple of bucks. Let's see, what else do we have coming up here? Here's another one I want to throw in, too, as well. Actually, there are two more. Tuesday, January 31st, I want to make sure we get this in. There's another Red Cross blood drive, so put it on your calendar. This will be Tuesday, January 31st, 11:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and this will be in Avoca at the American Legion Hall. And then one other thing I wanted to throw in at this particular time, too, Monday, February 6th, I know it seems a ways off, but it's time to register at this particular time, or at least think about it. ISU Extension here in Cass County is offering, once again, Annie's Project. Now, the last time they did this was 5 years ago. This is a six-week course. It's designed especially for farm women to help them develop their management and decision-making skills for their farms. Now, the course is offered over six consecutive Thursday evenings. It starts February 9th, and the last session is March 15th. Now, each session is from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. There'll be a light dinner served each time. Cost is $75 per person, and each participant gets some software programs, handouts, access to the ISU Extension online courses, and also an Annie's Project portfolio. Now, the course size is limited, and February 6th is the deadline to register, so it's best to do that soon to make sure you get in if you're really interested in that. You can contact the Cass County Extension office or go online to find their site as well to get yourself registered for that, and they do expect that to, they're only taking like 20, 25 people, and they do expect that to fill up.
I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't fill up very fast, because there's a lot of women involved in the farming business, you know, in this general area. And I don't think people realize it.
And not always did they grow up on the farm. It might have been a city girl who fell in love with and married a farm boy, and all of a sudden she's got to get a lifetime's worth of experience to figure all this out, too. So it's a very unique business model. It's not like other business models necessarily.
No.
So it takes a little while to learn. So there's your opportunity there. For just $75 is the registration fee. Well, we need to take a short break. Stay with us. We'll be back with more for you coming up here on our program. We do appreciate, as always, you taking a little bit of your weekend to spend it here with us. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cache County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
Okay, back and ready to get back to action again. Got some birthdays to talk about this week.
Yes, and I think these are two very important birthdays. On Saturday, January the 15th, we have Catherine Goebbels. She'll be celebrating 90 years, and I'm going to say 90 years young, I bet. She's. And also, on that same day, is Dorothy Hoffman. They both happen to be, Sunday, the 15th. I probably said Saturday, but it should be Sunday, January the 15th. Both of them 90 years old, Dorothy Hoffman and Catherine Goebbels. They're both from Harlan. And we mentioned earlier, I bet these two women know each other and have probably had lots of conversations with each other about sharing that same birthday. Also, for the rest of this week, from the Friendship Home, we have on January the 20th, Robert Ault, and on the 22nd, Ethel Rasmussen. And happy birthday to both of them. And then from the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn on the 16th is Millie Eskow. And also on the 16th is Anna Flynn. The 17th is Ron Bain. And happy birthday to all of them.
Absolutely. Have one more here I want to throw in, too. It's a 100th birthday. A couple of big round numbers in that
one. Yeah.
We like round numbers, and this has two of them, so that's even better. Velma Smith will be celebrating her 100th birthday. Her birthday is actually this Monday, January the 16th, but they're going to be celebrating it at the Heritage House here in Atlantic this Sunday, January 15th. I don't have a time of any sorts here for that, but I bet there'll be enough cake to go around.
Yeah, and most of those are a lot of times either like from 1 to 3 or 2 to 4.
Yeah, kind of drop in, come and go things.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm sure. And, you know, anybody that reaches the age of 100, they better do something. Because that's quite an accomplishment.
It's a long time.
Yes.
100th birthday again, Velma Smith. January 16th, this Monday's her birthday. But again, this Sunday, January 15th, at the Heritage House. So stop on by and wish her a happy birthday. It's kind of cool.
Yes, definitely.
Well, we're running out of time here rapidly. I had one little funny I wanted to throw in here before we were done. Because I happened to see this note here this week. The Wall Street Journal did a little report here this week on a thing that happens, and you can sympathize with this or at least relate to it because I'm sure it's happened elsewhere, but imagine how embarrassing this would be. Anytime you go to a live performance, even if it's like church, and all of a sudden someone's cell phone goes off.
Oh yes, I've been there.
It's embarrassing. We all look around, and everybody's like, oh, thank goodness it's
not
me.
Mine.
Yeah. Well, this past Tuesday night at Lincoln Center, the Avery Fisher Hall, it was the final movement of Gustav Mahler's Ninth Symphony being performed by the New York Philharmonic.
Whoa.
Maestro Alan Gilbert, he was forced to stop the orchestra. He stopped, right? And that's something that doesn't happen.
Was it his phone?
It was not his phone. It was somebody in the first row, actually.
Oh.
But the Wall Street Journal reported that and somebody's iPhone went off, and it had that distinctive marimba ringtone, which is just that much more annoying. But Gilbert turned his head to show that person he was not pleased. But the ringing from the first row continued, and actually continued for a couple of minutes. And Gilbert finally asked that the offending noise be turned off and then finally stopped the orchestra. Just stopped until they got it taken care of. They said the Philharmonic folks said it was the first time ever that the music director had ever interrupted a performance due to a cell phone or some other disruption like that.
Whoa.
You know, I've been to church several times, and, you know, you hear things like that happen. And it's always kind of funny. I've heard two different funnies. There have been times when the priest or pastor will just turn and say, well, you better answer it. It might be God calling.
Oh, that's a good line.
That's an excellent line.
And I've had another person look, and the pastor was not happy, and then the person would just looked and was sitting in the front row and looked up and said, I have to get this. It's God calling. He's telling you to wrap up the sermon.
Oh, that one I'm not sure would be real appropriate.
I don't think you're going to sit in the front row anymore after that.
No, no. Well, I don't know about you. I know you're Catholic, and as I'm Lutheran, and they jokingly say, you know, we all sit at the back of the church, so we wouldn't have to worry about it being in the front row.
Things happen, you know, and it's always kind of embarrassing, and we always, you know. The funny thing is, though, is after that happens in church, after a cell phone goes off, what immediately happens?
Everybody picks up theirs to make sure theirs is off.
Exactly. Everybody picks it up to either turn it off, when then you hear all these things,
yes,
you know, or just silence it.
Yeah,
know?
They'll put it on the vibrator or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, you can see, like I said, just the row of everybody doing something like
that. It's kind of funny that, yeah, we're a little bit like sheep. We follow along,
mm-hmm,
but we hear that and we immediately go to that. I had someone tell me recently, a lady told me recently, she said it's kind of interesting over the years. She's noticed at church, you know, anytime you hear a baby cry at church, she said, if you look around, because for whatever reason, women, there are probably some men too, but she said women seem to have a hard time when they're holding a baby standing still. They
rock
back and
mm-hmm
forth. And she said, I think it's just ingrained into the DNA, but anytime you hear a baby cry at church, if you look around, all of a sudden some women who don't have children there will just start to rock back and forth themselves.
I'm sure. I if you look close enough, yeah, it's just, like you said, it's a natural thing to do. Because you want them to silence them some way.
Never noticed it.
And now I have when I was growing up, I remember one of the ladies telling that as a tiny baby, when they would, the congregation would start to sing, it always bothered the child. And she says, you know, most of the time then you always were holding them and you had one ear against your chest.
Mm-hmm.
And she always said, take your handkerchief, which nobody has, of course, anymore now, but she always says, put that handkerchief over the other ear and it won't bother them near as much. And, you know, I've seen people, you know, if you just kind of cover that other ear, they're fine, because it was always kind of a start for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the organ would hit that big, loud note,
sure,
they'd kind of jump, and, of course, they usually responded with a noise. And so she always just says, well, just cover both their ears and they'll be fine.
Oh, well, I guess the bottom line is babies and cell phones. Hey, they're going to go off once in a
while.
That's
right. It's just
going to
happen.
Just get used to it, right?
Yep.
Just don't do it at the Philharmonic.
Oh, no. That's for sure.
Well, that's all the time we have this weekend. Thanks for joining us, as always, and letting us share a little bit of your weekend with you. This is Jim Field.
And this is Dolly Bergman.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.